Fitheads, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat. I'm your guest co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon, broadcast around the world and on the Armed Forces Radio Network, picked up on YouTube, picked up on Cigar Federation, of course, every YouTube app around the world. Subscribe, Cigar Federation. This show is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, manufacturers of the world's finest cigars. Try the new 93-rated Heritage cigar today. I am, of course, joined by our host and the MFN CEO out of Texas, Logan. What's going on tonight, brother?
Hola. Nothing, man. And I'm doing okay. My self-esteem is hurt because Eric called me a fatty before the show started. But other than that, I'm doing just fine.
I did not do that.
It might have been implied. I don't know that he called you a fatty. I mean, it might have been heavily implied.
He basically said you had too much. I said I eat too much.
You said you had too much, man. No, you say you an extra large. I thought you were a little bit more.
This is like a double XL.
A little bit more than that? Hey, man, you know what? That's just a whole lot of loving to go around on this body, Eric. That's all I got to say about that.
Of course, that esteemed face you see popping in the middle there, that is our guest tonight, the Alpha Dog himself, Eric Espinosa. Eric, thanks so much for coming on Cigar Chat.
Thanks for having me, boys.
So now, where are you calling in? Because I saw on Facebook, you're like all over the place. You were at a cigar event today or something like that, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm in North Carolina, Fayetteville. It's a good friend of mine works out here, Will, and Amstead Cigars, and we're doing live. Actually, it was from Wayne's office, who's the owner. He let me use his office to be here with you guys. That's why if you look in the back, it says Amstead Cigar.
Well, your head's kind of blocking it nicely. It's kind of right in the middle. So as long as
I got a big head now, right?
Yeah. So I'm just going to kick it right off, Logan, unless you have a question. We've actually got some
great questions. I got some great questions for my best friend, Eric.
You have some great questions?
Yeah, go ahead and ask the audience questions.
All right. I'll start with a softball question here from Harley Holmes. Eric, Harley wants to know what is the most difficult thing for you in producing cigars?
The most difficult, that's a great question. For me, it's not even the cigar. It's everything that comes with it. It's the bands, all the cosmetic stuff that comes with it, man. You know, getting the right band, the packaging material. You know, cigars, for me, it's like a chef. You know, if you buy good quality tobacco, you know, you're going to get a good cigar. You know, blending it takes a little bit of time. But when you're working with good materials, you know, I don't find it very hard to do blends. Everything else that comes with it, all the packaging and all that, it's the harder part for me.
I mean, I would think, because I'm obviously a cigar nerd, otherwise we wouldn't be doing the show. I would think the making the cigar part of it is probably the fun part of it. And everything else is kind of the business side of things, right?
Well, yeah, that's the fun part. But again, I mean, the L'Orange is the hardest blend that I've ever done. It took me a long time to create that. All the other ones, we do a lot of different blends and then we bring them back to the States. Because since we sell them in the States, you know, of course, the La Zona factory is in Nicaragua. So we make some blends, we create some blends between Hector and Carlito, who runs the factory down there, and myself, you know, we create some blends. We try them out in the States. And the one, you know, but we do start off, you know, we know what wrapper we want. We know the strength level that we want. And then, you know, we make 5, 6, 7, 8 different cigars. We try them down there. And the ones we like the most, we bring them down to the States. And then we try them. We let them sit for a while. And then we try them in the States and see what comes out of it.
And, I mean, how often do you find that you kind of nail it in Nicaragua, you put it on a plane, you fly down to Miami, and it's totally different cigar, and you're like, this is not the cigar I just smoked.
A lot of times that happens, man. It does. No one's been able to answer that question because I've been doing this for a long time, and I've asked guys that have been in the industry for many, many years. And, you know, some people tell you, well, it's the flight. Well, what if you ship on a ship, you know, what is it? The altitude? Is it the ambiance? What is it? You know what I mean? It's no one can answer that question. They just taste. They do taste differently. I did it one time. I tried it. I had the same roller, same cigar. Make two cigars. I tried one in the airport in Managua, and then as soon as we landed in Miami, I tried it, and you know it was similar, but you could tell it was similar but the same. That's Logan's phrase.
Similar but different.
Different but the same.
Well, I mean, if you want the answer, Eric, and I can help solve this question for you, and I know it's perplexed you probably for years, is I think it's bounce, right? Like, it's like you're in the factory, you're jazzed up. It's kind of like, you know, if you smoke a cigar that you've smoked forever and you smoke one, you know, when you're in a bad mood versus you're sitting on a beach with a cocktail in your hand. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's personally what it is, but or not, but that would be my educated guess.
Well, I mean, that does have a lot to do with cigars here. I mean, you're out on a date with a good looking girl and, you know, there's not going to be any bad cigars. I mean, you know, yes, if you're in a pissed off mood, you know, you might not enjoy the cigar. But down there, that's what we're working for. We're working to develop good cigars. So you got to put yourself in that mind frame, you know, that the cigars, you know, what you're looking for. And it just, you could be right, you know, but no one's been able to you know, to pin it down. I've asked Steve Saka, Jonathan Drew. You know, Jonathan Drew calls it the Honduran effect. I don't know why, but that's what he calls it. I mean, it's weird like that. I don't know what to tell you.
It's just weird like that. That's awesome.
I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense, right? Because you talk about even growing tobacco. You can grow tobacco in one manzana, move it one over, and it's completely different tobacco in the same soil, in the same sun, with the same cloud cover by the same farmer. So I guess it kind of makes sense that if you're smoking it in a particular environment with certain humidity, certain temperature, certain altitude, and you change, you know, four of those five factors, if it changes the way the tobacco tastes when you're growing it, I guess, in my mind, it kind of stands to reason it would change the tobacco when you're smoking it too.
Yeah, it does. So that's why we bring it down to the States and we try it down here and to make sure, you know, the flavor, because then you'll get the same similar flavor, you know, of the blend that you did. And you know, and we make cigars differently than most of the guys down there, because, you know, we make – I'm not telling you it's – best way of doing it. We do everything into bar, and even when we break off, I don't know if you've seen the process when you break off the tobacco and then you're filling it in, you know, we let it go on the table, because by letting it go, it tells us, yep, you know, which are Lejeros, our Visos, our Secos. So, and then we load them. When we're filling it in, you know, we always put our Lejero on the foot of the cigar and then we work our way up. A lot of people don't do that. And that's why we can try to maintain the consistency of our cigars. Again, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just telling you the way we do it.
It's, you know, speaking of a way that you – sorry, go ahead. It's all you, Logan.
Speaking of the way – and I got to ask a question because I've been wanting to ask this for a while. Because you guys are a little bit different in the sense that they're trying to increase their box counts, right, in terms of, you know, 50-count box or a 40-count box. You guys – cigars that you've – box water band in the wrist trees from Nicaragua and making for Espinosa cigars in the last, say, 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, you coming in and out. If I got your question correctly, you're saying why are we making them in 10-count boxes?
No. Oh, no. I said you guys do things a little different. You have a lot of 10-count boxes.
Yes.
So how has the water shortages in Nicaragua and the inability to harvest trees for boxes impacted your production in the last two months?
It got bad, because not just that, the now they're trying to monopolize the wood down in Nicaragua. They're, you know, you can only buy it from one company. And but we got a good box guy, you know, he's in with the government down there. And I don't know if how the water has shorten the wood and all like that out there. But what we did do is we got a good box guy, and he had a lot of wood, and he's making cigar boxes just for us. So he's got enough supply for a year, and until they don't fix that issue they got down there, that they're just buying from one guy, you know, we're good. We're good for a year.
Right.
You know, if not, we're going to have to sort it somewhere else, go to China or maybe even Canada. Maybe John's got a hookup in Canada.
I got tons of hookups. We got lumber for days, man. I have a question for you. I'll hop in and I'll let Logan ask another question, because of course the big thing this year is the general elections are coming up in Nicaragua in November. Is there some concern or some discomfort from cigar manufacturers? Like, because I know that things can get a little crazy in Nicaragua during an election cycle. What's the mood of cigar manufacturers?
Well, there's always concerns. So far, we've been left alone. Back in the days, I've been doing this again for 20 years. If you look at the history, Honduras was a safe place, and then Nicaragua was bad. And now it's the complete opposite. Ortega's left us alone. We do pay our taxes down there, and he lets us make cigars, and we ship a lot of cigars, and nobody bothers us there. Nicaragua is probably the safest country in Central America. Is there a concern? Yeah, there's always a concern. You never know what's going to happen. You're still in a third world country. Things can happen down there. But look, if I worry about that and I worry about FDA and all that, then I'm going to go crazy. So, it is what it is. We just got to keep going, keep making cigars, and keep building the business. But, sure, there's always a concern.
Logan, you're up.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys can hear me. I switched internets. But, Eric, I noticed you're not an inner tobacco. I know a lot of manufacturers, to weather the FDA storm, are trying to sell more to Europe. Are you represented at inner tobacco, or are you just saying?
Listen, I am, but I had a long talk with my son about that. Look, if it comes to a point that we can't sell cigars here in the States, and then I don't even want to be in this business anymore. This is my hometown, and yes, I don't mind selling out there, but I travel enough here in the States that it's overwhelming for me. And then now to go put my time, energy in a different country, I'll grow weed or do something else. As much as I love this business, I'm not going to put all my time and energy in Europe. You sell in Europe the equivalent of like three good stores in the States. Spending a lot of money going on there, just to say I was in Germany. Look, I like Germany. Don't get me wrong. It's just, since everything down there, a high percentage is all Cuban cigars. It's a tough market to crack down there, and you're going to have to put a lot of time and energy in there. And then I don't have that energy to go out there and promote the product like some of these guys do. Look, God bless them, man. But I'd rather put my time and energy in the great USA and even Canada, that's it for me. And again, I don't mind selling over there. I do, but I'm not going to put my energy into that.
Fair enough.
We have a great question from On. On was with us at the IPCPR, and On is a big, big fan of all the stuff that comes out of La Zona factory. He wants to know a little bit more about the Warhead 3. He said it was one of the best cigars he had at the IPCPR. He can't say enough good things about it. Can you talk a little bit about the Warhead 3?
Yeah, well, with all this FDA going on, the Warhead 3, I didn't want to make any one and two, and we were done. But we needed to have brands out, and we had Hector had brought back some Lanceros, box press Lanceros, when we were considering it. And actually, the cigar we made the blends about 2 years ago, and we just sat on them and see if we were ever going to do something with it. And no better time than the present. So we still had some lying around the office, and we smoked it. And we said, man, this is too good not to make something out of it. So we decided to do the Warhead 3. We showed it at the IPCPR. We should have the shipment in like a month. We're letting him sit down there. And again, cigars are done. It's just a matter of packaging, bands, boxes, all that stuff that goes with it.
Just a reminder to audience, you're tuned into Cigar Chat, broadcast live around the world and picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. I'm your guest co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon, here with my host, Logan, the MFN CEO. This segment is brought to you by Cigar Oasis. Cigar Oasis is the leader and innovator in measuring and controlling humidity in the cigar industry. Are your cigars protected by Cigar Oasis? Set it and forget it today. Logan?
Is that a question for me?
It wasn't really so much a question. It was kind of a soft handoff.
For what?
I don't know. I'm just seeing if you have any questions. If you don't, we got lots of
audience questions. I got plenty of questions, man. I'm
figured you might.
Messing up my freaking office. So, you know, Eric, you know, a lot of manufacturers rushed. Well, word's not rushed, but with the August 8th, the deadline with the FDA, a lot of manufacturers, you know, brought a lot of stuff that, you know, it's covered, but, you know, hasn't really seen the light of day. I mean, I know you guys brought a lot of stuff. How much stuff can we expect that's new from Espinosa over the next, say, 2 years?
Well, we still got to see how this thing plays out. You know, we had to have it in the books, you know, before, and we did. We got to see how all this lawsuit and how this all plays out because, you know, I think it's unconstitutional what they're doing, you know. You know, you have a friend that wants to get in the cigar business. He wants to come up with his own brand. He can't do it, you know.
Can't do it.
And that's unconstitutional. So we have to have, you know, brands, you know, trademark, you know, packaging, you know, blends. We have to have a bunch of stuff out there before that August 8th. And everybody went crazy. And they should. They, you know, everybody had to do it. It wasn't something that we probably, most of these guys, that they didn't want to do. Because it costs a lot of money to do all this.
Right.
So we had to do a lot of different brands. It wasn't by choice. We just had to do it just to have it, you know. Hopefully, you know, all we need to do is a couple brands every year. But if, you know, if this goes to, you know, to SHIT, then you know, we're going to have to come up with a lot of, you know, we are shipping some stuff. We are doing, did the Alpha Dog. We did the, right. You know, we're doing the Warhead 3. We did the Crema, which is the Connecticut, right? And we're doing a flavor cigar that's made in Dominican for us, which is the Azúcar, which is a vanilla flavor cigar, which is one of the best-selling, you know, vanilla is one of the best-selling cigars in our industry as far as flavors go. And not too many people make it. So, you know, I had an idea, and this lady – she'd make one of the best flavor cigar in our industry at one time, which I'm not going to mention the name, but it was phenomenal. And I told her, why not? You know, I don't know how long flavors are going to be around, but listen, it's around 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Well, why not? Why not make it? And it is a predicate day cigar. So as far as the blend goes.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe 2 a year is enough for anybody, but it might be 50, it might be 20, it might be 10. You know, it all depends how this goes down. Because if we can't make it ever again, then we're gonna have to make stuff. You know,
that's true. I mean you're in the hub of it. You're in Miami. I mean, what's the general consensus on the way things are going to go? Because I mean, I think at the very beginning there was a lot of people split, like, oh, it's not gonna be that bad, or oh, it's going to be okay, or people are dooming and glooming. We've got guys coming out the trade show with 134 different SKUs. Won't name any names. But, I mean, what's the consensus now after IPCPR is over with manufacturers on where this is going to go?
I really don't think that the FDA is prepared for us. And I really don't think they're really gunning for us. You know, they're gunning mostly after the vape. You know, a lot of these guys smoke cigars, and they get it. They just have to tie us down into it. We have to educate them, okay, because they really don't know. We're the ones who got to educate them. Listen, you know, the girls' hockey team won the Olympics three, 4 years ago, and they smoked cigars on the ice. You know, you have a child, you hand out cigars, you know. Cigars, I'm not a doctor, but one of the biggest causes of illness is stress. My number one stress reliever is smoking a cigar.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I just hope that they do the right thing. Now, I don't have an issue. You want to regulate us, you want to tax me, that's fine. But the biggest issue I have is let me smoke, okay? Let me smoke where I'm able to smoke. You know, you got some cigar stores around the country that you're not even able to smoke inside the store.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to legalize marijuana, which I don't have a problem with that. But come on, man. You know, they don't let you smoke a cigar. You know, it's just not fair. Again, it's unconstitutional what they're trying to do. They should just, you know, tell us what they're going to do and let's move forward. You know, what was it, 4, 5, 6 years ago? I don't remember the amount of time, you know, everybody cried about that airship and this and that. Look, we got through that. You know, we're selling more cigars today than we did last year. So, again, when we first started, the interview started, it didn't. I can't cry over spilled milk, man. I got to keep going and keep doing what we're doing and what we're focused on, and let the chips fall where they may, and keep going. But everybody, you know, some people are scared. Look, we do have cigar. We do have brands that are before 2007, you know. So if all I can sell is 601, well, then that's what I'm going to sell.
So be it, yeah.
You know, what am I going to do? There's nothing else I can do about it, but we're going to keep going. And but I would love to see a judge arrest me for handing out a free cigar, you know. You know the exposure I would get? Eric Espinosa goes
especially
to jail.
Miami.
Oh, yeah, especially Miami.
For handing out a free cigar. Listen, I built my business. We built our business and you know, social media, guys like you guys, you know, hand people try cigars. We don't have the name recognition. We're trying to get there, but the way we get there is, look, you need to try our product, and if we believe in our product, you know, that you might like it. You know, I know what we do. I know what the cigars we put in there. I know the blends we put in there. So the only way of you getting to try it is, A, you either have to buy it, or B, we do events, and you know, you buy three, I give you one free. And that's how this industry's been working for a long, long time. So unless you don't try the cigar, you're not going to know. I can make the best cigar in the world, and if you don't pick it up and you don't try it, you're never going to know. So, again, we're going to keep doing what we do.
So I'm gonna ask a question because you talked about social media, and obviously we are social media people. We have a question from On, and I'm going to kind of modify On's question a little bit to be perhaps a little bit softer. Of course, Protocol is one of the brands that comes out of your factory, and I love Protocol. Can't stop. In fact, I think on our pairing show, we've been talking Protocol now for 7 weeks in a row, even though it's not been a featured cigar.
It's a great freaking cigar.
It's a great freaking cigar. Now, one of the ones that they put out was the Probable Cause. It's a little strong for Robbie, but I got to smoke it when I was down in
freaking
Las Vegas.
A Zima with Skittles in it be too strong for Rob.
So, I mean, it's perfect for me. Like, it was great. It's got a lot of body. I'm not going to say who, but it got an 87 in one of the reviews. So my question for you
is, that review.
You know, as a manufacturer, what do you guys, like, and I don't think we've really asked this, what is your thoughts? Like, you know, the industry kind of sometimes lives and dies with low reviews, high reviews. How do you guys take that when, you know, cigar maybe doesn't get, like, personally, I don't think an 87 was fair. I think that cigar is well in the 90s. But what are your thoughts on that?
Look, it's a sore subject. Look, I thought 87 coming from Charlie was, and I'll say the name, coming from Charlie was
great. Pretty good.
That is a good score. Yeah.
Listen, an 87, that's what I told. I got texts from everybody. This, that. Listen, an 87 from Charlie is pretty good.
That's a 90. That's a 95. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, that's good.
He got a lot of different flavors from the cigar that I didn't. You know what I mean? Listen, that's his opinion, and that's fine. It doesn't bother me because, look, as much as I love all you guys, all the social media and all you guys do help us tremendously. And we're big in social media. You know, you win some, you lose some. You know, listen, maybe it's not for Charlie. Maybe he doesn't, you know, that's not his cup of tea. But I've seen a lot of worse ratings from him. You know, I thought an 87 coming from him was great. I was going to text him earlier today and thank him, you know, for the 87. So, I mean, I don't take none of that personally. You know, look, everybody's palate is different. I know what I put in the cigars. Look, I'm not being conceited here. It's very simple, and anybody can tell you this. You know, when you have the buying power, okay, when you get the good quality tobacco, and I do have a lot – of buying power because I'm friends with a lot of people. I'm friends with the biggest growers there are. Okay. AJ Fernandez is great. You know, the guys over at Drew Estate, I get anything I want. You know what I mean? I have great relationships with the biggest growers. So I know what I'm buying. I educated myself. This is a business that I want to be in. You know, I want to retire in this business, and I opened this company, you know, to leave something for my son. What I put in the cigars, it might not be one of your favorite, but that's okay. But you know,
I think we might have just lost Eric for a second there.
Yep.
It's we'll give him a chance to come back here because there's a – oh, there we go. Sorry, we lost you for a second, Eric, but it looks like you're back.
So I don't know what you guys caught of that, but I'm going to text Charlie later today after the show and thank him for the 87. I thought 87 was great for him.
Yeah, yeah, you got to adjust that up. I think Logan's right. I think an 87 from Charlie is really like a 93, 94.
That's a good one. Yeah. And he said he'd buy it again. He did
say in this score.
I think he said it had a little bit of manure in it. A hint of manure.
That's a good thing, man.
I love manure, dude.
I like a little barnyard, man. It's tasty. quickly before our next break here, because you're talking about sourcing tobacco, and we have a really question dedicated to that by Shooter, and Shooter wants to know, like, how much of your time do you think is spent procuring that good tobacco for Lizona?
We're in a good situation here because we don't grow tobacco. Okay, we do buy a lot of the stuff. Here's the thing: AJ Fernandez is a real good friend of mine. Even when he was, nobody knew who he was. We've always had a great relationship, and I have them that, you know, they cure the stuff for me, you know, because he has enough room. In La Zona, I don't have, it's not that big. So we do the process, okay? You know, everyone processes tobacco differently, you know. So I know the way he processes stuff, and this is similar to the way that we would do it, you know. But when we go buy the tobacco, you know, we taste it, make sure that it's done, you know, that it's cured properly, that it's fermented the right way. And if it doesn't taste good, you know, then we just don't buy it. We just don't get it. You know, I think the way that you make cigars has a lot to do with the taste. You know, if you cook a steak, you know, and you cook it well done, it's not going to taste the same as if it's rare or medium rare. You know, as I was just telling a gentleman today, you know, he was lighting the cigar. You got to light everything together, brother. You got to get all that tobacco working together for able to get the maximum. So even making the cigars has a lot to do with the flavor and the way you roll it of the cigars. And getting back to the question, you know, we have these guys, they do it for us, because right now we don't have the capacity to be able to do buy, you know, we buy a lot of my stuff over at his place.
Nice. Well, just a reminder to your audience, you're tuned into Cigar Chat, broadcast around the world and on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Logan, this next segment is brought to us by who?
This next segment is brought to us by our good friends at Drew Estate, the Drew Estate Diplomat app. Nothing's cooler, not even my beard. Download it or be a douche. Back to you, John.
All right. So what do I want to talk about? We've got a lot of audience questions here. By the way, Eric, I've been to La Zona a couple times, and I love your patio on the second
it's
or third
legit.
Level there. It's awesome.
Did you get any of the rating cards when you were there?
The what?
Rating cards. Well, we have some rating cards there. When you see a girl go by, you know, you can give her a 10, a 9, an 8, a 7.
No, man.
No, I don't think we did.
I don't think so, man. I do like that patio, though. I got some good Cuban coffee, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, we make it nice. Look, you know, it's mi casa, tu casa. Yeah, a lot of guys in the industry go and hang out there. You know, we make it, we open up the factory to anybody. Look, you know, a lot of people have their trade secrets and all that, but, you know, if you're a friend of mine, if you ever bought one cigar of my one brand of my cigars, I mean, you're more than welcome there. It doesn't matter. Even if you know my brands and you've never smoked, anybody there is welcome, man. All they got to do is give me a call, let me know they're going, and we'll open the doors to them. They can hang out upstairs, you know, smoke a cigar. We'll make them the Cuban coffee. They can hang out there. We got Wi-Fi. So it's open to anybody and everybody that wants to go.
I mean, you guys, you talk about not buying your cigars, but I mean, you guys have so many brands and so many manufacturers, you know, coming out of La Zona factory right now. It's kind of hard not to run into something either directly from you or being made in your factory at this point.
Well, I'm proud of that. I mean, when we first started, you know, it's a good problem to have, because now we're basically at full capacity there, and we've outgrown the factory. And I love that place. You know, I feel good about that place. I don't ever want to leave La Zona, you know. You know, and And when we first started, you know, you wanted to be able to make cigars. So, you know, we brought in some guys that we made the cigars. We made the Moya and Ruiz guys. We made one for Aaron Doza, you know, La Serena, you know, Catelli. We got now we make some stuff for Cornelius and Anthony, Protocol. All those guys we make cigars for. And we make private labels for some of the catalog companies also. So we're making, yes, you're right. We're making a lot of cigars out there, you know, but I don't think I'm able to make any more cigars. Cigars for anybody else. I mean, we're at full capacity now, you know, and I've had to turn people down to make cigars for them, and it just can't, you know, we just, you know, we're at full capacity. It's real tough, and we're gonna have guys working at nighttime, but we can't do that because the quality goes down, you know. That's something Jonathan Drew taught me one time. He told me not to do it because, you know, the night was made for sleeping, you know. He tried it one time and the cigars, the quality went down. So that's something, you know, either we got to get a bigger building, or which I don't want to do because I really love that place. And it's right next to Los Arcos. I don't know if you guys went, you stayed at Los Arcos or where you guys stayed at. You know, it's in walking distance there, and it just feels great. I get there, you know, if I forget something in the hotel, I go back, you know, and I just love the place, you know?
Yeah. I'm heading down in November with, our big group of cigar stores. We're taking some people down to Nicaragua for the first time. We're going to be staying in Esteli, and I'm really looking forward to it because, you know, normally when I go down there, I stay on the safari. So this will be kind of my first experience kind of staying actually in Esteli, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, let me know when we're done with the interview. You know, you give me a call, and I'll set it up for you. You can go, and I'm sure you can do it on your own, but I can set it up. You can go see, you know, AJ. You're more than welcome to come by my place, and even – If Jewish states, if they don't have a safari, you know, you can go and see them also.
I think that's, you know, I got to say, that's one of the really cool things for me. You know, being a Canadian, everyone here is pretty friendly. But I got to say, going out to Esteli, there's really that, like, my door is always open for you. Like, people that I'd never even met before in the industry, and they're like, yeah, you want to see the factory? Come on in, you know, we'll give you a tour. And, like, you know, there's no, like, calling ahead for reservations. It's just, yeah, you want to see the factory? Come on in. And I have to say, like, that's unbelievable in the industry that people are so open about, you know, yeah, you're in the industry, yeah, come on in, we'll show you the factory just on a moment's notice. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, because we have no business without you guys. I mean, you guys are, you know, you guys are the consumers, and without you guys, there's nothing. You know what I mean? It's no different than an athlete. You know, you get rid of the fans, they're done. You know what I mean? So without you guys, seriously, I'm not saying this, it's the truth, you know, without consumers, you know, who are we going to sell cigars to? So, you know, my doors are always open to anybody. That's just the way we, you know, we operate, we do business. The only thing I ask is not to be negative. You go in there positive, because I love positive people, you know?
Absolutely.
And I don't like the heebie-jeebies of negativity, you know what I mean? So it's just positive, sit down, smoke a cigar, light a cigar, take your shoes off, get some Cuban coffee, you know, get your rating card. You know,
get your rating card exactly,
Logan.
It's gonna work, you know.
So, you know, Eric, I mean, I was gonna ask, and John's kind of covered, but I'm gonna ask it again. Like, you've gotten to the point. I mean, at what point? I mean, you're producing some great cigars, and I'd say that's one thing about Lizona and you is that when you bring someone in, they're a part of the family, and you produce them great cigars, right? But at what point do those great cigars affect the ability and quality that Espinosa's brand or 601 can put out?
Well, that's a great question. Look, right now I'm at full capacity and I can't get anyone else. Okay. You know, everybody has their run. Okay. I don't rush anything. I know you hear all this. People tell you this, people tell you that. Look, never make a cigar that I'm not happy with. Okay. Now, there's brands that I make for some of the catalog companies, you know, and a lot of, has to do with price point and all that. Well, you know, if you want it at this price, this is what you're going to get. You understand? And I'm talking about mainly catalog companies without mentioning any names or anything like that. But guys, you know, that sell to the brick and mortars, you know, I don't cut corners in anything that I do, you know, and everything, every product that I sell, it's guaranteed. You know, I've never had, you know, complain, you know, the way we make cigars, I know they're going to draw. Now, you know, everybody gets stuff, you know, the one cigar on Rival Day, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, it's a handmade product or what have you, but you know, we you know, being a small company, I don't think we're small anymore. I know we're not big, but we're somewhere in the middle of the road. You know, I don't cut corners when it comes to that, because once you start cutting corners, it's a listen, it's a chain slippery reaction. Slope. What's that?
A slippery slope.
Well, look, one thing, Logan and John, I don't know if you guys know my history. I've done everything in this industry. I don't know everything, but I've done everything. I've been an in-house rep, an independent rep. I've been
in store.
I've owned my own retail store now as a manufacturer. I've been a sales manager. But here's the thing. I've seen brands come and go without mentioning any brands. You know, when I first started, there was brands there that are no longer with us. Okay? Brands give away. My good friend Rocky Patel, you know, he had that Indian tobacco. He couldn't give away a cigar, you know, and he worked hard. And you know, and he sells a lot of cigars now. Brands that were up there on the top were to be found. And what happened? You know, they cut corners. They did this. They did that. Look, I don't do that, you know. And I'm not there 24 hours a day, but they have strict orders on what they need to do and how they need to do it. You know, we have managers there that they have to oversee the quality control. You know, and if it's not good, listen, put it over to the side. You know, I'll sell it at seconds. Or what have you, but I'm not putting it in, you know, I'm not making it a productive cigar, you know, I'm not put someone's ban on it. If it's not good enough for them, it's not definitely not good enough for me. So they have their strict, you know, rules that we go by there and they got to do, but I don't cut corners when it comes to that, man.
So you've talked about Eric, capacity, your full capacity. We've got a lot of audience members that are kind of curious, and I don't know if you can go into specifics. Maybe just give a rough idea to our audience. How many cigars a year is Lizona putting out right now?
Yeah, it's cigars, and we can sell a hell of a lot more, but it. You know, that's what happens when you start making more cigars and more cigars, you lose that quality. And that's something that I don't want to happen. You know, right now we're working with 22 pairs. I don't know some of the audience there, that's 44 guys, you know, and girls making cigars, you know, but again, you know, we have good guys. We have, and good girls, you know, they've been with us since day one. You know, we teach them our way, our method. The more cigars you make, yes, you do lose some of that quality control, and you lose some of the flavor profile that you're looking for. And then the blend's not the same. And I don't want that. I really don't. That's something that we've discussed. That's something that, you know, that my son and I and Hector and all my team, you know, I don't want that. Yes, the goal is to sell cigars, okay? But we would have to do something different, you know, maybe open a second factory, you know, and do something different. But when you make the factories bigger, you can't oversee everybody. You know, if you get two small locations or two medium-sized locations, I think that might work. But when you get one big place, it's, you know, you can hide and you can do whatever the hell you want to do if people don't see you. So I'm not a big fan of that.
I have a question from On, just before I get back to Logan here. And On is kind of our resident Lancero fiend. And he mentions that obviously some really great Lanceros coming out of the factory. Just shout out to the Protocol Lancero, which was, you know, one of the better cigars. In fact, I'm going to say it right now, is the best cigar I smoked at the IPCPR. What do you credit those great cigars coming out of the factory? Is it just great tobacco? Is it the Entubar? Like everything together? Like, what do you credit that to?
Well, I'm not a big fan of making Lanceros because they're so hard to make. You know, with our flavor profile, you know, we definitely put some Ligero in our cigars, and it's very hard, man, for all of them to draw. You know. It's a tough cigar to make. But again, we buy, you got to buy right. We buy good tobacco and we have to play around. Those are the hardest cigars to make. We have to get our best rollers to make that. you know, and those are some that we do drop test, run it through the machine because they're so hard to make, you know, and then some of them, you know, you're always going to get, you're lucky if you get two out of, you know, out of 20, if two of them don't draw perfectly, you're doing good on a Lancero, trust me. You know, we just made one for, we made a LaRange Lancero for Stogies out in Houston.
I heard it was fantastic.
You know, yeah, you know, and it's hard. It's hard. It's just buying good quality tobacco and blending it. You know, if you have good quality tobacco, you know, you're always going to have a good cigar if you blend it right. So, you know, if you buy bad and you blend bad, then you have nothing, you know. If you buy good quality tobacco, well, you have a great start. You know, you have 75% of the cigar won already. And all you need is 25% blending it. You know? But I find it harder to buy good tobacco than blending it because if you got good quality stuff, you're going to have good quality cigars.
Let me ask a question. So it sounds like a lot of it's getting good tobacco, but are there instances that you can remember when you got, I'm not saying bad tobacco, but you know, you're like, eh, it's okay. It's not great, but you were still able to massage it either with extra fermentation or extra aging to make it good. Or do you have to have good tobacco to begin with? That's just a prerequisite.
Well, yes, I think if it's okay, again, we buy all of our stuff. If I try something, you know, we make like little cigarillos when we go buy it. And if it's, then I just won't buy it. You know, if it's not something that we want, we know, what we put in our cigars. You know, we go buy the Ligero, which was like John was saying, you know, we bought it this month and we ran out and now we're close to running out. So we'll go buy because we do have enough tobacco to hold us, you know, for 3-4 months. So we go buy. And so if we try something that's then, you know, and then we don't take it, you know, and then, you know, we'll take something else. You know, to compensate, because what we do is, you know, like John was saying, depending on what year of the crop is, you know, if it rained a lot, then it gets a little milder. So right. What we do is if we would use the fourth priming of this type of tobacco from this field. Now we go to the fifth priming, you know, it might cost a little bit more, but, you know, it's what's closest to the cigar that we're making.
Right.
So we compensate, but if you, like you said, if it tastes like then we just won't buy it, man.
Just a reminder to your audience, you're tuned into Cigar Chat, broadcast live around the world, heard in over 65 countries, and of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Logan, this next segment is brought to us by who?
Next segment is brought to us by Fratello Cigars. Fratello Cigars launched the new Oro. Experience the Fratello Cigar at your local tobacconist. They don't have it. Ask for it. Fratello Cigars. Guy, yeah, man.
Omar's a good dude.
He's big, man.
He's a big dude.
He's a tall dude. He works for NASA, that guy, bro.
I know, yeah, man.
He's got a brain on him.
I'm thinking, what are you doing in the cigar business, bro? You work for NASA.
I mean, you picked the wrong time to get in the business, bro. I'll tell you that. Hey, but now I don't know about NASA, man. I mean, I'd want to be in NASA, man. They're shooting like rockets into Pluto and stuff. It's awesome. Anyways, even though Pluto's not a planet, I had to Google that the other day.
It makes me sad. How could they take Pluto away from us?
I know. It's so – the whole song, you know, My Very Educated Mother. What is it? My Very Educated Mother just made 9 pies or something, or 9 pizzas. She just made 9 something. We don't know what it is anymore.
Now we don't know what it is anymore.
Just cliffhanger. Sucks. So, you know, Eric, question for you is, you know, I mean, obviously you guys
You guys want me to sing the song? I can't hear you.
You want me to sing the song? It's My Very Educated Mother Just Ordered 9 Pizzas. And your favorite planet's Uranus. Ha! Yep, I just said that. No, Eric, I know you guys make a lot of great cigars. Like, I mean, what, you know, and I've been the factory, you know, you guys have always been very hospitable, you know, and you've been at it for, you know, in some form or fashion for, you know, decades now. You know, with Lizona, if there's one thing before opening the factory, that if you could go back in time and change one thing about Lizona, the factory, what would it be and why?
I didn't hear you. I lost you guys for a little bit there. I don't know. I know
I'll quickly summarize.
John, am I clear?
No, you're good. You were coming through. We just had a bit of a connection. So Logan is essentially asking, you've been in the industry for a very long time. If you could go back and change something in Lozona, what would you change? Not sure if that came through or not.
You're going in or not, but if I was to change something in Lozona, is that the question?
Yeah, knowing what you know now, you know, 3.5
What was your question? If I was to change something in Lozona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, yeah. So just knowing what you know now, if you could go back in time, what would you change about Lozona? If one thing. I mean, would you make it bigger? Would you hire smarter people? Like, what would it be?
I'd grow marijuana.
You'd grow marijuana? And take it up.
I grow marijuana instead of being a cigar business.
And that's probably true.
No. Yeah.
I think we might have lost them there for a second again. I blame Google.
I blame stupid iPhone.
They do have a – just filling in here. They have – I really enjoy the factor. I mean, you know, it was a last-minute tour when we took the SigFig crew down there. But I don't think there was a single guy that came away from that factory who said that they didn't have a blast sitting on the
patio. Oh, I agree. No, that was one of the highlights of the tour. It was nice.
And, I mean, I think there's something to be said about you know, I wouldn't call it a small
tobacco fat, and, he's back. And that becomes a pain. I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Yeah, you're good now.
Yeah, and you know, just using, you know, not making that many different brands, man, because it's very hard to, you know, go buy so many different types of tobacco. And then, you know, I don't know. I know you guys have seen it work, but I don't know some of your listeners, you know, every day you got to change the table. You know, if you're making L'Orange, you know, you make L'Orange for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but now you start off with another cigar. Now you got to take away all that different type of tobacco and get a whole new, you know, different types of tobacco to make that. And then you got to store so many different types of tobacco and you got to go buy so many different types of tobacco. So I feel like, you know, if we would have made, you know, our 5-6 brands or whatever it was, you know, at the time, you know, that would have been, you know, put our time and energy and efforts in these brands and not come out with something new all the time. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what the consumers want. You know, what's new? You walk into the store, everybody asks you, what's new? You know, and that's just wrong, man. You know,
right.
Try something.
Question. You know? You just led me to a great question. And I want an honest answer. Is that most of the people, consumers-wise, aren't like John, I, and yourself. Not saying we have great palates or anything, but like we smoke a lot of cigars. We know what something should taste like. If you were to take a wrapper from, let's say you take La Murcielago and you put a different wrapper on and called it, you know, the Knot, and how many consumers would be able to discern that was the Murcielago?
They would not be able to tell?
Yeah, how many, what percentage?
99.
Really?
Yeah.
So?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, the wrapper, it gives it a lot of the different taste.
Right.
You know, of the cigar, you know, and that's a very dominant wrapper. You know, it gives a lot of the flavor. That's why that's one of the hardest cigars to make, because since that wrapper is so dominant. But I get your question. I don't think a lot of people will know. You know, you get a Connecticut cigar, let's say the Crema, and take off that wrapper and put a Habano wrapper in it. How many people would? I don't think that many people. You mean you're changing a lot of the cigar, really? You know, I think you take one different leaf. I even go on like, well, you take one different leaf, maybe the smaller part, the smaller proportion of your blend, and you switch it off with something else. How many people will tell? A lot of people won't. There's a lot of people that don't even retrohale that smoke cigars. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy a cigar if you don't retrohale, but unless you retrohale, you really don't get that, you know, you don't get both of your senses.
Not retrohaling is like cooking a steak to well done. You can do it, but it's probably not a good idea.
I would disagree with that. Cooking a steak to well done is not a bad thing.
That's a terrible thing. You might as well just eat a hockey puck at that point.
Do you realize that I grew up on a cattle ranch and I ate, well, not crispy, but well done steak, and it tastes
why?
Because it's tastes wrong, better. Bro.
No.
No way.
You're wrong.
You're taking out the juices, all the flavor of it.
We can get into it in the After Dark segment.
But, oh, my God. I'm going to pistol whip both of you.
I'm going to go off on you in the After Dark on that. God, but, Eric, I got to ask you, because, you know, and then I've heard from a lot of manufacturers, Lancero is obviously very tough to make. And unlike the cigar geeks, I mean, Lanceros don't move like Toros or Robustos. You want to make a cigar that that moves. You have to have a Robusto. You have to, like, within your portfolio. Right. But for you, personally, what is your favorite wrapper, personally, and what is your favorite size? What's your favorite toll?
Habano and Coronas. If you ask, I'll tell you, 75% of the manufacturers, they like Coronas. It's a quick smoke, and you get more flavor out of it. You know, I do love Lanceros. Here's the problem with Lanceros. Most people that smoke Lanceros are educated guys that are cigar geeks like myself, like you. You know, and we enjoy that. But your average Joe that's going to go pick up a couple cigars to go play golf, he's not going to pick up the Lanceros. And, you know, Lanceros are just probably for cigar geeks. You know, the golfers pick up Toros, Churchills, you know, or what have you, but they're not picking up Lanceros.
I do like a short Corona, for sure.
I do like a short Corona.
Yeah. Now, you're talking about Habano. Ecuadorian Habano?
Yes. I love the – here's why. I retrohale a lot. The Habano is not an overpowering wrapper. So you really get the flavor of the blend that you're making. Myself, as a blender, I like to see, you know, the I like to taste the flavor of the cigar. So when you get into your thicker wrappers, like your Mexican, the San Andres, you get the broadleaf, that overpowers a lot. It's like putting a A1 steak sauce on your steak, Logan. Overpowers the blend. So I like the Habano because you really get a taste of the blend that you created.
Yeah, I think for me, just talking about, and I'm in the same boat. I think for me, the Ecuador Habano is probably one of my favorite wrappers right now. I mean, I range. Sometimes I really like San Andreas Maduro. Sometimes Ecuador and Habano is kind of my jam. And I mean, I don't have the experience you do, but I agree. I think the nice thing about Ecuador and Habano is it harmonizes with the rest of the tobaccos for me. It doesn't just...
Yes, and the lighter Habanos, the better for me. The only problem with the lighter Habanos is that they're more fragile. Hmm. And so they crack on you a little bit more, so you got to be very careful on the one. But I'm a big, big fan of the lighter Habanos. It's just because you get all the flavor of the cigar.
So, I mean, was it difficult producing Connecticut Shade? Because Connecticut Shade is, you know, certainly in the lighter spectrum. I mean, I know it's a very popular cigar, that blend, but...
One of the reasons we did the Crema, the Connecticut one, is mostly I got tired of doing events around the country, and people, what do you have mild? Well, I don't have it mild, you know. And I would ask the consumer, are you staying or you're going to hang out, you know? Hopefully they'll say, no, I'm leaving. And then I'll put them on a LaRange or something, you know, because now if they were staying, and I didn't have nothing to offer them because, you know, if they were leaving, I'm never seeing this guy again. You know, I sold them a couple of sticks, you know, but if they're hanging out at the shop, I had nothing to sell to them, you know? So I'm not a fan of Connecticut. Yes, it's a lighter wrapper, but it's bitter. I find it a lot bitter. The Connecticut. And so, you know, I remember back in the day, the 601, I made the 601, the black. It was probably the strongest Connecticut ever in our industry. And it did well at the beginning, but it slowed down because everybody was confused. Everybody thought, you know, I'm getting a Connecticut that's mild. You know, but that bitterness of Connecticut, you don't get the whole flavor of the cigar, you know, the actual taste of it like you do in the Habano. So, yes, it's a light wrapper, but it's also a little bitter in flavor.
So, Logan, you have some party questions here as we come to the end of our
first. Not really. I mean, I think we've asked some pretty good questions. I mean, Eric, pretend you have a time machine, and you could go back to your most favorite moment that you've ever had in the cigar industry. What would that moment be?
Wow, I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of football, and I grew up in Miami, and I'm a big Dolphin fan. But I love the Rams. I just like the color of the Rams. And I remember one guy, Jack Youngblood. He played with a broken leg in the Super Bowl one time. And I saw him in a cigar store one time, and that's when I was first started. And you know, I'm not starstruck. I really, you know, but I was a big fan of the guy. So I asked the owner if that was Jack Youngblood. He said, yes, that's him. So he told me, I'll introduce you to him. So I started talking to him. And
I think we might have had a drop out there again.
I'm going to keep smoking your cigar. Did you guys missed that?
Yeah, we missed that.
Jack Youngblood.
Okay. I'm a big fan of football. You know, Jack Youngblood, I was a big fan of his. And I met him in the store, and I gave him a couple of my sticks. I gave him my business card. And he called me back a week later. He goes, this Eric? I said, yeah, Jack Youngblood. And I thought it was the guy that owns the store playing around. So I told him, yeah, go screw yourself, Joe. He goes, no, it's Jack Youngblood. So I said, he goes, look, I tried a cigar you gave me. They're phenomenal. And I'm going to keep smoking them. And I said, man, that's great. So he sent me a signed picture and you know, T-shirt and, you know, Ram shirt and this and that. And you know, and he texts me once in a while, you know. And that was one of my biggest moments, to have a guy like that, you know, that so famous, you know.
That's awesome.
And that's when I first started. You know, I have a lot of guys that are stars, like Ian Ziering. I don't know, you know, Sharknado.
He's
a big fan of cigars. I have Mayor Giuliani at the office in December. You know, he went by. He's a big fan of cigars. So now that we're getting more and more known, you know, more and more of these guys, you know, they smoke our stuff. Nick Van Exel was at the office. We've had, you know, bunch of basketball players, baseball players. Louis Tiant, you know, I don't know if you guys know him.
They had a cigar company.
Yeah. His son's a good friend, you know, and they go and they hang out there at my office for, you know. So, you know, we get a lot of stars, actors, or what have you. You know, it's a great feeling that you put out a product and they enjoy it, you know.
That's cool.
All right, well, that takes us to the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment. Make sure to tune in next week on Tuesday, a special time of Tuesday, because Rob's going to be at the park, so we got to push it up to Tuesday. Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have John Huber on Cigar Chat. Eric, thanks so much for being on our Armed Forces Radio Network segment. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
And thanks very much for all our Armed Forces Radio Network segment listeners out there. As Rob says every week, you guys are built to do things we are not. And thanks for taking the 58 minutes and listening to our show. We'll be back next week on Tuesday.
Later.
Mahalo.
Did you say fucking mahalo? Is that what you said?
No, I didn't say fucking mahalo.
That's what fucking sounded like.
So, of course, we're still live. We're still being broadcast on YouTube and being broadcast on podcast, but we are not restricted from the FTC, so we can say whatever we want at this point now.
Fucking mahalo. That's
so
awesome.
So I just have to get out of the way, Eric. I am unfortunately a Jets fan, so I'm kind of there's a game on right now. I'm kind of switching windows in Cigar Chat. Watch kind of.
They're down 14-0 already.
No. They just scored. They're up.
Oh, are they?
13-7.
What's the score?
13-7.
Really? Who scored? Do you know? Because I got my fantasy guy. I got Eric Decker.
Decker's put up some big points, but it was Matt Forte that ran it in for the touchdown.
Yeah, I hate the Jets. I don't like the Jets. I don't like New England. I mean, because they beat us all the time. That's the only reason I don't like them.
You know, I know there's a lot of animosity between different divisions in the league, and we're not going to dominate by football talk here, Logan, so don't worry. But
nah, I'm not.
I would say the AFC East has got the most rivalry of any division in the league, because the Jets hate the Dolphins. I mean, that history goes back a long time. Everybody in the division hates the Patriots. Patriots hate – I mean, there's a lot of hate in that division.
There is, bro. And I'm full of it for all those guys, those three teams. Yeah. So we suck. We've been sucking for so many years. But
I like rivalries. You know, it's kind of fun. It makes the games more interesting, you know, when you got something on the line. And I think the nice thing about the at least this division is, you know, with the Patriots being dominant, everybody else in the division plays tight football. Like, you know, any given Sunday, anything can happen. You got to watch that game right down to the last few seconds because you never know where that game's going to go.
I love football. I mean, and whoever invented fantasy football is a genius because now the game could be 35-7 and you're still watching that game, you know, watching your players, you know, and everybody's glued to the TV, you know. That was the greatest thing ever invented. Whoever did it was a genius.
Yeah, I think it gives you a lot of appreciation for players on other teams you might not follow or players even on opposing teams. You're talking about Decker, right? It's like I'll pick up a Dolphins running back because, you know, like if it's a Pat Lee, like I know he's good for receptions, I'm gonna start him. I don't care.
Yeah, but you know the problem is you know, like let's say you have Decker on one league and then you don't have him in the other league and you're playing against him. Go, no, wait a minute, don't go. Wait, no, hold on. No, don't go. Yeah.
So let's bring it back to steak because I'm in Alberta.
And boy.
Alberta is like the Texas of Canada. Okay, so we're a huge beef producing province, just like Texas. We're a big oil producer, just like Texas.
Yep.
We like our guns.
Yep.
And our politics lean towards the right end of the spectrum versus the rest of the country, which is way on the left. And I got to tell you, as a guy who's been eating steak since he was about 4 years old. For me, I'm not going to judge anybody, but I am. Medium rare is the maximum you should cook your steak. You can still have it at medium. Nope. Medium rare is where you should be cooking your steak.
Nope. I disagree.
I will go. Let's go in the middle of the road. All right. It's medium. Here's the thing, Logan. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking, Logan?
How old do you think I am, Eric?
I would say you're 32.
I just turned 33 on the 12th.
I'm good. I used to work at a carnival. So do I get a prize?
Well, see, now that you've guessed his age, Eric, though, you have to guess my age, and this is where you make the money at the carnival.
Yeah, John's age is
– I will tell you, just by you saying that comment, I will say, because you look real young, I would say you're 37.
41.
Wow.
Some clean living.
Clean living.
Don't you get it by 4 points? You still get the prize.
No, yeah, I think usually I get about a 3-point spread is how they do it.
Yeah, 3 points.
Yeah,
I'm not usually going down to the local carny festival and like playing games, so I don't have to take your freaking word for it.
So here's the thing: when the older you get, the reason I ask your age because the older you get, you lose some of your taste buds.
Yep.
So, like coffee, I'm a big coffee drinker. By the way, one of the best coffees now in the country is, believe it or not, it's McDonald's. McDonald's coffee. They changed their coffee like 3 months ago.
It's true.
And their coffee now is, if you like stronger coffee, Starbucks is all burnt, okay?
It is all burnt.
It's all burnt coffee. Now, I used to drink coffee with all that Splenda, sugar, you know, cream, all that BS. But now what I do is I get it just black, plain black. Because while you – putting cream and putting sugar in it, it takes away the flavor of the coffee. Okay? So try it one day. Just put a little bit less sugar in, a little bit less sugar every day.
Coffee black.
Yeah. Good. So by you burning that steak, okay?
You're not burning it.
There's juices in there, okay? Anything above medium, okay? It's just wrong, dude.
Okay.
Look at the lions. We're animals. How do lions eat their steaks?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not running around on four legs across the fucking Serengeti, Eric, trying to chase down a goddamn gazelle. Like, I'm a fucking human. I stand upright.
Animals, bro. We're animals.
Listen, dude. Listen. Is that I'm not advocating, like, burnt. I'm advocating to the point where the inside is no longer pink. When you eat a raw steak, it tastes just like that. Raw. Yes, you've got a lot of juices, but those are undercooked. And you have to get the meat to the point where it's brown for the inside, the cartilage, everything inside the meat to actually break down. And I'm advocating that you cook it to the point where it gets there and then you eat it. Like, yes, if you have fully cooked steak and then you let it set for an hour and then you eat it, yeah, it sucks. But if you eat it as soon as it comes out, try it. Just try it. Cook it to well done. And I'm not saying burnt, but where the inside's no longer pink, eat it instantly, and it'll be the best steak you've ever ate in your life. My dad has like 2,000 cattle. I'm like fucking Bubba off Forrest Gump. I've had beef every motherfucking way you can cook that shit. And trust me, man, I fucking know. Telling you, man.
You've been eating beef wrong for 33.
that may be true. I'm telling you though.
Give you that.
Did we cook steaks at my house when you were here, John, or did we not?
Tell your dad to call me.
You think I'm an asshole? I'll get Dale on the phone. He'll give you an earful for 8 hours about it.
I have no problem with people that are straightforward. I love people that are straightforward. I never think you're an asshole. I love people that tell you what they got to tell you, bro. That's the way I am. Well, look, everybody has a different palate. I agree. But I did, when I was younger, it had to be well done for me. You know?
Yeah.
And then somebody gave me the great idea of butterflying it.
Yep.
You know, so by butterflying it, you know, it doesn't have to be cooked all the way through that, you know. So then I started eating it medium, you know, and then, you know, now I medium rare, you know, medium rare is good for me, but medium is fine. I don't have a problem with it. Now, do you season your steaks or not?
Typically, no. And if I do use any, it's just salt and pepper.
That's all you need.
Yeah, a little dry rub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just salt and pepper crust, if anything.
Salt and pepper is all you need.
And there's no A1. There's no any sauce. It's just
good. If it's good, if it's good Angus beef.
It is 100% USDA. Listen, they say prime. We go above that. We're choice.
I learned something in Nicaragua about 3 months ago. I take the guys, Cornelius and Anthony, owner, Stephen Bailey.
He's a good dude.
He's a great guy. He grows a lot of tobacco in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I was in Esteli. Behind the church, John, there's a place they sell meat. And this guy.
Square? On the square?
Right behind the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in front, and behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
So this guy, you know, they're cutting up meat. And I see it, you know, the leg of the cow there. So I tell him, listen, I want churrasco, skirt steak.
Yep.
So he cut it up. We took it down. We barbecued it. And it was tough, man. And I told him, man, I tell the guy, he goes, you know why it's tough? I said, no. He goes, because it's a milking cow. It's not a Angus beef cow.
Yeah.
And I said, I thought, you know, not growing up in a farm like you, you know, a cow's a cow, you know. No, that was so wrong, man.
That's kind of like tobacco. You know what I mean?
Okay. It's not knowing, you know. I'm not into cow.
It's true.
I never fucked a cow. I don't know.
Man, I only will if it's fucking done, well done. You know what I mean?
Ever, listen, being in the farm, tell me the truth. You know, I know it gets lonely out there. Did you ever fuck a cow or not?
Man, let me just tell you, there's some nights on the farm where it got real fucking cold, Eric. And you know what? There are just not enough quilts, man. You just had to do what you got to do, man. But I said, hey, first, cow, you got to make sure you're well done, though. I'll test the meat and make sure the temperature's just right. Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
I want to bring you back to coffee because, Logan, you've been getting
why? Because
coffee
fucking big time cows already. Is too inappropriate.
It's a little inappropriate. This is too far. I'm gonna play the part of Rob here. I'm gonna rein it back in.
You know what Rob would do? Rob would have been backed up against his chair because he'd have been so awkward that Eric and I are talking about fucking cows.
But I mean, you know, I'm obviously huge into coffee. That's kind of one of my other passions. I'm huge into coffee, roasting beans, all kinds of different methods of preparation of coffee. I mean, one of the great things about being both in Miami and Nicaragua is, I mean, there's some damn good beans, first of all, coming out of Nicaragua, but I mean, Miami has some really fucking good coffee.
Well, most of the stuff in Miami are espressos. You get it for, you listen, we rent the machine down in the warehouse and it's a Pilon, but it's the dark, dark roast. And we do the espresso and then my son's he misses calling. My son's a barista, man. He makes great, phenomenal coffee, you know. And I like macchiato. I like the coffee, but with a little froth, makes it and it's delicious. It's strong. If you like strong coffee, you know, we have a great, and it's not burnt. It's, you can taste the flavor, you know. It's not that Starbucks bullshit. It's
coffee's tough, man.
the problem with Nicaragua is charcoals or whatever. You know, yes, you're right. They have great they grow great coffee there, but it's the way you roast it, and most of the good stuff they export it. You know,
yep.
And they don't even leave the good stuff for them. So, I mean, I have gotten, you know, there's one in downtown. There's a little coffee shop. They make great coffee there. And the one in the factory, the one that I make in the factory, well, I bring it from the States, from Miami. But they do have good coffee there. They just don't, you know, they export all the good stuff.
But, I mean, coffee, you're talking about roasting. I mean, there's a lot of crossover between coffee and tobacco.
Oh,
because you can
so
start
similar.
You can start with good coffee. You can start with good tobacco. But the way you finish it has such an, like, you take the same bean and you can roast it six different ways, and you can even you know, you can do a French press, you can do a pour over, you can do a drip, you can do an espresso, and every different way you produce that coffee is going to produce radically different flavors out of that same bean.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, because I was most of Italian coffee, everyone says is Italian. They don't grow too much coffee in Italy. It's all bought in Colombia.
Yeah,
You know, but those Italians, man, I was in Italy. They really, really know how to make their coffee. I mean, those espressos, they get the first 5, 6, 7 drips or whatever it is. You know, that's it. You know, you got to drink 5 or 6 of them. But, yeah. You know, it's real, real strong, and you really, really get the flavor. You know, they really know what they're doing. And the machine has a lot to do with it, and the calibration of the machine.
Yeah. The biggest thing, though, is the grind. The grind makes all the difference. I recently upgraded. John's giving me shit, but I've been getting more into coffee. And like, I went from just, you know, one of those little ones you push the button and there's no telling how it's going to grind, to like one that's actually like legit, like a burr grinder. And dude, I texted John today after my cup and I was like, you were right, man. The grinder made all the fucking difference in the world.
Oh, absolutely. There's my favorite coffee shop in the country. It's in New York City. It's called Zebetos. Let me tell you, it's across the street from the used to be De La Concha, now it's a Davidoff store. I don't know the name of it, but anyway, I went there one time. The espresso was out of this world, out of this world. So I bought like $50 for the bag. I don't have a grinding machine, so I had a friend of mine that had one. He grinded it, and I tried to make it. Not even close. Not even close.
No, nope.
It's all combination: the grinding machine, calibration of the machine, all that BS.
Yep. I mean, even at, you know, you can tell a good high-end coffee shop based on how often during the day they're testing their brew, like with espresso machines. You gotta taste that stuff 3-4 times during the day to make sure it's still dialed in, and you gotta make micro adjustments throughout the day, because it might have been making good coffee at 9 in the morning, but by noon, it could slide easily.
Yeah.
Anyways, coffee talk. I can
coffee
talk
all day.
And tobacco.
He likes coffee talk, but he don't like to talk about cows.
No, man, especially when you're bringing back nightmares from my childhood, Eric. I really fucking appreciate it.
Eric, thanks so much for being on Cigar Chat. It's been great. I know the audience has had a blast. And, you know, you've been on the show a bunch of times, but we love having you on the show, and we're going to have you on the show again in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Before you guys go, I got a text from Juan Cancel. He wants me to ask you, who's fatter, him or Bill, in your opinion?
Who, me or Bill?
No, Juan Cancel or Bill Ives. He wants you guys to.
Oh man, that's tough.
Well, see,
go ahead, John. You give me your answer, and I'll give you my answer.
See, it's tricky, man, because Bill's got the advantage of height, right? And the problem with, I say this as a guy who's kind of a shorter guy. The problem with taller is you can pack on a lot more poundage, and people can't tell because you got that height advantage. But you drop your weight down, you know, to like 5'8", 5'9", you put on 10 pounds, 10 pounds on a 5'8" guy looks a lot different than 10 pounds on a guy who's pushing 5'11", 6 feet.
John, quit the bullshit. Juan's a hell of a lot fucking fatter, bro.
My answer is I love all people. I don't look at people as they're fat. I judge them by the quality of their character.
Yeah, fuck you too.
True. I don't see fat people. I just see good people. Good
Listen
people.
To me. It ain't even close, bro. You're looking at, I would say, Juan's got to be about 295. Bill's about 250, 260.
You think he's up to 295?
Oh, hell yes.
He carries it well, man.
Listen, no. I'll say, let me make it fair for him. 294.
294 without going over.
It's hard for me to bust on either of them because they were great hosts at the IPCPR. You know, they brought out that Ron Zacapa and protocol, man.
One thing's got nothing to do with another. They're great guys. I love them both. But, he's the one who asked me to ask you guys. It wasn't me. It was him. I got the text right here.
Hey, man. So he's listening. Wouldn't call anybody fat.
No, I'm not calling him. It's his choice. He's the one that wanted me to ask.
No, it's touche.
Canadian, man, we can't say bad things about anybody.
No, I can't. Unless he calls Logan stupid like he did today.
I might have called you stupid. I take it back.
You did call me stupid. I was over it the second you said it.
Eric, thanks so much. And
hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's always
for sure, buddy.
We know you're in a shop. We appreciate you dialing in. I know it's kind of tough with the technology, but we appreciate being on. And like I said, the audience really enjoyed having you on, and we're going to have you on soon in the near future again.
You got it, man. You guys be good, man.
All right.
Go Dolphins.
Go Jets.
Go Dolphins.
Fuck football.
We'll catch you all next week, Tuesday, 8 p.m. We'll have John Huber on Cigar Chat, and it'll be Robbie and Logan Show back again. Make sure to tune in 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Have your dogs.
Later. Have your dogs.
Spayed or neutered.
Later, dude.